Excuse me. So, how are we all this morning? Good. That's good to know. So, ivy. So I spoke about gardening last week, and I spoke about how we can find God in the garden, in the act of gardening. And what we can learn about the way that God works in us through the metaphor of the garden. And I hope what you took away from last week is how much God delights in us. And he delights in seeing any tiny sign of growth. Whatever stage of our spiritual growth we are up to, God delights to see it. I hope you took that away with you last week. But today I'd like to explore another gardening metaphor with you. And Sue inspired me with this when she heard that I was going to be speaking on gardening last week. She asked if I was going to talk about the ivy. And you might think, what? Well, when we first moved into Orchard House just over a year ago, one of the very first things we had to do in the garden was remove years' worth, and I mean years' worth, probably 40 years' worth of ivy growth from the walls. Now, you might say to me, what's wrong with ivy? After all, it's all part of the image of an English cottage garden, isn't it? Ivy-covered walls all add to the charm, don't they? Well, indeed, ivy can look very beautiful, but it could also hide what is happening underneath. And there's all sorts of things that can be happening underneath. It can grow into the mortar between the bricks of the wall, loosening the integrity of the structure. It can hide rotten timbers. It can kill the trees to which it clings. And most gardening experts now suggest removing ivy if at all possible. So we set about hacking away at the stuff. It was hard work, I can tell you. I've got a rather wonderful photograph of Helen's stepmum, Hilary, straddling our brick wall in the middle of the garden with a saw and hacking away at the ivy. But I couldn't find it to put it here, and she probably wouldn't want you to see it anyway. But what we did when we did that, and we hacked away at the ivy, we revealed this rather beautiful brick wall, which up till then had all been but hidden from view. And Sue and John have told me that when they moved into their new home, they had a similar issue with the ivy. And once removed, it revealed a water butt they didn't even know they had. It also revealed some damage to the walls. So where am I going with this? Why am I talking about ivy? Well, I think that in our lives, we can become covered with ivy. We can even dress with ivy sometimes. We can think that we're doing okay, but underneath, we're actually choking, like the walls or the trees under the ivy. And here's the thing, you see, the ivy hides the truth of what is really there. It may look beautiful, but it's not the reality, it's not the real structure, it's not the reality of who we are, it's not the wall, it is not the reality. And I wonder whether we even come to church dressed in ivy. What? What are you on about? Of course we don't drape ourselves with bits of greenery, but do we, if we're honest, sometimes put on a brave face for Sunday? Do we put on our Sunday best? Do we dress ourselves to the part when we come to church? I think it can all start with a simple question asked of us. How are you? And most of us, I suspect, answer, fine. Which is great if we really are fine. But what if actually we're falling apart inside? I suspect a lot of us still answer fine. And that's the ivy that people see. They see the face we put on for church. And I believe, I really, really believe this with every ounce of my being, that God is calling us to honesty and authenticity in the church. He is calling us, even us leaders, to be vulnerable with each other, because that's what authenticity brings. If we are true to ourselves and to each other, we might not always be fine. And cutting away the ivy in our lives might mean that actually we feel a bit naked before God and each other. And the thing is, those beautiful smiley faces which we show each other at church are very, very beautiful. You all look beautiful this morning. And we actually sometimes shy away from seeing the reality of where each other is. We prefer to see the beautiful ivy because those brave faces and the smiles can be easier to cope with than the alternative. Let me give you an example. When my father died very suddenly, and for some years I was not able to answer, fine, people stopped asking me. People actually stopped talking to me because I was too much of an eyesore, all right, because I couldn't cover myself with the ivy anymore. And I think we are often worried about showing our true selves in church. We're worried that people will be turned off or shocked. But not one of us has got this life thing worked out. That's what we have to remember. Everybody has a reality under the ivy, which is there whether they allow others to see it or not. And what we need to be able to do with each other is trust each other enough to poke our faces through the ivy. And actually, what about? What if the face that you're hiding behind the ivy is even more beautiful than the ivy itself? And God will tell you it is. Our realities and our real personalities that we sometimes hide from, or we hide from others, they are beautiful because they are the identity of God's children. And I believe we often suffer from a sense of poor self-worth. We don't really believe that who we are is worth knowing, so we hide behind that special Sunday dressing which we keep for the occasion. But you know, in God we're all made righteous. And we need to hold on to our God-given identity as his children. When he looks at us, he thinks we're worth it. He thought we were so worth it that he sent his son to die in our place. He loves us beyond everything. He loves us to the moon and back, well, beyond the moon and back. He loves us to the very ends of the universe that he himself created. When he looks at us, he delights in us, however well we think we are or not doing. Do you need to know that God loves you? Have you really taken that deep in? Because he does. But that's not where it stops. Because we need to learn to love each other too. And Paul says in Colossians 3, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yeah, that's the picture of church that God wants us to be. He wants that love that he feels for us to be expressed in our words and our deeds to each other. This is the church God wants for us. Bearing with one another might be time consuming. It might be hard work. But I am convinced that it is the way to really grow together as a strong body of fellow disciples of Jesus. When we are authentic and honest with each other and we keep Jesus at the center of it all, we become a church of power. I can tell you that. But as I've been thinking about the ivy, I think there's another aspect of what ivy does in a garden. And that is that it's actually a destructive plant that chokes other plants. And it spreads its roots really deep and wide. And so unless you fully dig up those roots, you're going to really struggle to grow anything else in that bed. And Jesus had something to say about that, didn't he? Although, actually, rather than ivy, he spoke about thorns. The idea is the same. Listen to what he says of the danger of allowing that thorns or the ivy to grow up. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Later on, he explains this to his disciples in this way. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So the ivy not only can be something that we hide behind, but it can also be the very thing that stops us being everything that God sees in us, the potential he sees in us. It stops us growing. So what might ivy represent for us in this case? Jesus, notice, links it to worry and to the temptation of riches. Well, so let me just speak a little bit about worry, because we all worry, don't we? Let's be honest, we all worry about something. Some of us are captive to our worries. Anxiety is a real scourge in our society. I teach a number of children, young children, in my role as a personal tutor, who actually are so anxious that they can't go to school. They are homeschooled because of anxiety. And it is therefore blighting their everyday existence. And what is the cause of that worry? Well, I suspect that in the end, it's a sense that we can't control things. We can't control our learning, in the case of those children. We can't control our money. We can't control our relationships. We can't control our health or the health of those we love. So we worry. And what is God's answer to that? It's let go. Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety, not just some of it, but all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That is the answer. We acknowledge then that we cannot control these things, so we give them to God. And the best thing about this is he cares for us. And then we might be choked with our own ambition. We want more possessions. And that becomes what drives us. Jesus spoke, though, constantly about the danger of loving money too much. He often called people to be sacrificial with their money. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, "What can I do to receive eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Give everything you have away and come and follow me." It's a hard teaching. But what Jesus is saying is, do not hold on to your money too strongly, because otherwise it will be what rules you. He says, hold your possessions lightly. And it's hard because the prevailing culture in which we live tells us that the acquisition of wealth is good, doesn't it? So this teaching is countercultural. So I want to ask you, because it's different for everybody, what is your ivy? What is the ivy in your life that God is calling you to uproot? It may be as simple as not liking change, or perhaps liking our own comfort too much, and that might be expressed in church. Maybe it's something more hidden, like a hidden addiction. Maybe it's pride. We all have ivy to clear, if we're honest. And you know, God wants us to be honest. He wants our honesty. We can't hide anything from him anyway. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." So God knows us inside out. There's no point pretending to be something that we're not in front of God. But listen, as I said last week, God doesn't love us the less just because we're not perfect yet. He loves to see every tiny sign of growth in us. But he is not content to leave us as mere seedlings. He desires for us to grow into our potential. Yes, he already knows us. And he doesn't need our honesty for his sake. He wants it for our sake. Because when we learn to be honest to him about our whole life, we can truly grow. We can learn to love him more and learn to love each other too. You know, it might be really hard work, this digging the ivy up. We've found that already. And the ivy can be comforting because it allows us to hide. All those worries about life, the enticements of riches, or have other hidden addictions, they can actually be really difficult to let go. Ivy puts its roots down deep and wide and can be really difficult to dig up. And it spreads through the soil. And if we allow our own personal spiritual ivy to take control, it really will take control. It spreads through our whole experience of life and becomes part of us. But God is in this for the long run. And as soon as we get out the spade, he'll come alongside and start digging with us. Believe you me. We just need to show willing. So, how do I summarize this? Well, we all have ivy, which we carry around. It can be something that we hide behind, or it can be those very thorns which grow up and stunt our growth. Those worries of life, those ambitions, those secret desires and addictions. What is your ivy, which God is calling you to be honest about with him and perhaps with each other? And how can we make a start to clear it? And when you make a start, you won't be on your own. God doesn't leave us to dig out our own ivy. And I just want to finish by reminding you of the words from Jude, because I think they're really, really important for us. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Now, why have I chosen that verse? Because it's not us who are presenting ourselves free from stumbling. It's God. He is the one who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence. Well, it's Jesus, isn't it? It's Jesus' work in us. We're not left on our own. All right, so if anything I've said to you this morning seems like too much of a hard work or struggle, and you're thinking, I don't know whether I can be bothered. That sounds like an awful lot of work. Know that as soon as you show willing, God steps in. All he is waiting for is us to say, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. So let's see if together we can help each other to clear that ivy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you don't leave us on our own. You are not content for us to just stay as those weak little seedlings, but that you want us to grow, and you want us to grow and be transformed into the likeness of your dear Son. Lord, and that you don't leave us alone to do that on our own. That you send your Spirit, and that through him, we have all, every single grace and strength and resource to follow this through. So help us, Lord, to be willing. Help us, Lord, in our day-to-day life to say, yes, Lord, I'm with you. I'll have a go. I'll start digging. And Lord, as we begin that process, we pray that, Lord, you will come aside and you will help us grow into the image of your Son. Amen.